Sí.
Siendo mascón. Siendo mascón. Siendo mascón.
Oh, those people. Oh, those people. What a thing to do to you on a Monday. I'm sorry.
You're so disappointed in humanity.
I really am. Okay, so here's something interesting. Azalea, her daughter, got into trouble at school last week for charging the other kids 50 runt per hour to hotspot off her phone at school. I was so proud of her. That's a little business she's got going there. That's clever, huh? 50 rand an hour.
To multiple people.
Yeah, so she basically, her phone was like doing all the work.
And I thought I was cool by selling those popsicles at break time.
No, this is the new economy. This is great. Well done to your daughter. That's very good. For me, I have the best memories. This is Stryam 19, eating cheddar cheese and Vegemite sandwiches from when I was 5 to 11 throughout the whole day, the whole span of my primary school years. It was easy to make and taste delicious too. All right, whatever. Ladysmith White Mambazo is what people are calling that. Sima Must Go and those other people. Ladysmith White Mambazo. All right, so I've got some other stuff for you that's a lot more fun. And a lot less depressing than those terrible, terrible singers. Here are some people who walk on all fours.
Oh, no.
You remember this?
Is it that story from years ago with that family?
Yes. And I'd forgotten about it. But just because I have a brain that files a whole lot of stupid shit, I found this for you. This is like a... But they do look like they haven't evolved, that like they're very primitive.
It looked like it was a joke when I first saw it. You know, it's one of those unbelievable things, but it turned out to be true.
It's true. So have a look. These are people who haven't evolved. Okay. Where's the clip? Okay, I'll walk. I'll do it. I'll walk on all fours. Don't want to disappoint the audience. They've come for the Cro-Magnon man who walks on all fours. Any time now would be great. You did say you'd loaded all of these. Jesus, you are so fast asleep. I swear, sometimes I walk in and James and Flex are on all fours, walking around the studio like unevolved humans, like proto-humans. Oh, come on. It's the clip with the chick in the beginning who goes, "This is a video that you are unprepared for." It's also like 60 minutes or whatever. And it's this Turkish family. Like they live in the mountains. Yeah, some remote
grassy mountain area.
And they didn't interfere with them in the beginning because they didn't want to like change them because they were this bizarre human experiment, right?
Mm.
She talks about them like being the holy grail of evolution.
Their bones were different.
Got it? They walk flat on their hands. Take a look.
You're about to meet a family that shouldn't exist, a family like no other. They could just be the missing link between man and ape, the holy grail scientists have sought for generations. They're living, breathing men and women, but they walk on all fours, just as we did 4 million years ago. And until this film was shot, they were hidden away, unseen by the outside world. A remote village in Turkey. Here, hidden from the world, lives an extraordinary family. A family whose very existence could rewrite the evolution textbooks.
I was really fascinated. You know, here are humans doing things that they're not meant to be doing.
For the past year, their existence has been known to just a handful of experts who have been sworn to secrecy. When I heard of it myself, I was intrigued, but nothing prepared me for the reality. Now, finally, the secret can be revealed.
The immediate response I had was that I couldn't believe my eyes. I had never expected that, even under the most extraordinary scientific fantasy, that modern human beings could return to an animal state.
In scientific terms, it was the equivalent of finding living, breathing fossils. human beings who had never made the evolutionary leap of standing upright.
So, what do you think? You think it's real?
I still feel like it could maybe not be real.
I don't know. They look pretty primitive to me. But that one chick, if you can call her that, has like a unibrow.
So, of all the things she's doing in her life, you picked out the unibrow.
The unibrow is for me the dead. That's always a sign that you are probably more ape like than anything
Fringes
else.
Fringes and unibrows, anything to do with the forehead area. I mean, and you started with that guy with an extra big.
Exactly. So she opens up. I'm obviously very worried about foreheads and like unibrows. Anyway, they open up the clip and she's like, these people could be the missing link between man and ape.
Yeah.
And then they show them and they kind of look primitive.
Do you know the difference between monkeys and apes?
No, tell me. Where did you...
I learned it this weekend.
Okay, go on.
Monkeys have tails.
Yes. You didn't know that?
I thought chimps were monkeys.
No, that's why you're an ape.
But a chimp is an ape. It's not a monkey.
No, you're an ape. I'm an ape. We're not monkeys.
I thought chimps and monkeys were the same.
No. We're all primates, though.
But what if you're born with an extra...
The primate, I think it's the primate genus with them. But apes and monkeys, different because they don't have tails or they do have tails.
I had a friend who had an extra...
She
had to have it removed at birth.
Vestigial tail.
Yeah.
Really?
So was she a monkey and I'm an ape?
Yeah. She was a monkey. You could actually legitimately get away with calling her a monkey.
Do baboons have tails?
No. I've got a little...
They're apes.
Apes.
Okay.
We got a little like stub as well, but not much to write home about.
Okay.
But there's another friend of mine who did tell me that at their school, they had a girl who had a tail.
Oh.
Yes. Your coccyx.
And they never chopped it off.
Yeah, end of your spine.
Yeah, it just carries
still
on
a
going.
Little bit of, yeah, it's still a little bit of a tail there. But you know, it's not, it doesn't stick out. You wag. Imagine if someone had a tail to wag.
Some people believe they do.
Yeah, like the furry.
They identify as cats.
No, those are lunatics. Mental health problems. Next week with Dr. Hanan, we'll ask him about that, okay? So speaking of like primitive and terrible looking, I found this video again. You remember how much fun we had with this, with all the different ages of the women in that one family?
No, I don't.
And they all tell you what year they were born. James, you know, you remember this. This is like one of our favorite of clips of all time, and it came up in my feed yesterday and I just started laughing outrageously and I thought, got to show this on the show again tomorrow. Here we go.
Show us your tails.
Oh, fucking apes. Really? Have you got that clip?
ये मेरी भारतीय है ये मेरी जन्म तारीख है ये मेरी जन्म तारीख है मेरे जन्म तारीख है
You remember that? I love that clip. I think we played it like a year ago, and I just love it.
I do remember.
Okay, so here we go. Hermin says, I'm sure there is an Only Tails website somewhere. They would win the bear crawl event at the CrossFit Games, those people who walked on all fours. I love the awkward pauses before videos, says Stefan. Garrett, start labeling your clips for James. Don't tell me what. This is not a Garrett problem. This is a James problem. Okay? My ancestor was a colleague of Charles Darwin, James Weil. Oh, really? That's interesting. Well, he'd have a field day with those people in Turkey.
Yeah.
Imagine what he would have thought. He would have probably collected them in a bottle, taken them back to the British Museum. You won't believe what I found in Turkey. Gareth gets his news from The Onion, says V-Rus. No, that clip you saw, by the way.
I remember it.
I downloaded that last night at midnight. This is how long into the night I work to bring you this fresh material.
Wow.
Every day. So what is on your agenda this morning? We haven't even given you a chance.
There's a guy who's being hailed a hero in Australia.
Who's this?
It was on one of their local flights, and he turned out to be a teenager. This teenager, they just landed, and this teenager started running across the wing of the aircraft. And then The story is unclear. I don't know exactly what happened.
It sounds like something from the Twilight Zone.
He then shouted, there were six words. I've got bombs on board or something. He said, I'm bringing bombs on board. And he had a shotgun, like a rifle. And this Australian sheep shearer, literally, that's what he does. He's a sheep shearer. Mm-hmm. Quite an old dude too. I mean, not a young guy. Wrestled this teenager to the ground, got him into a chokehold, and brought him on, and they managed to disarm him. He had not only the gun, but he had screwdrivers and things in like a tool belt. But he's now being hailed a hero. And you know what these Australians, these characters are like in the news when they're being interviewed?
No, he's like, well, I just did what I've done on me fam.
So there are two videos. The one explains what happens and how he is,
I love
gets
this guy.
Hero's,
you know,
welcome.
People always say, like, violence is not the answer. But when you're dealing with, like, deranged lunatics, violence is absolutely the answer. You've got to take them down. And I love the fact that there's a big Australian farmer
who's used to handling sheep.
What's this guy making all this fucking noise for? Mm-hmm. We don't have time for this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna miss me flight.
Yeah.
He just takes them down. I love that. I love that that this guy might be the last real Australian left.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, play the clip. Let's go.
Hold him down. I don't want to f***ing go.
Yeah.
Right?
How is this possible? How is this possible?
Just wait till you get a copper. I'm not letting this hand go.
It's all you, jumping. How'd you get here?
We're all safe. We just keep flying. Let's be honest and go forward.
Thanks,
Dave. Watch the champion win a footy game.
Has it all sunk in, what happened yesterday?
It has. I've had that many phone calls and different things ringing me. I haven't had time to think, but it's reality's hitting, yeah.
But, I mean, do you replay it in your mind, what actually happened?
Well, I sat at my daughter's house last night in Hamilton Heights in Geelong, and I probably had about maybe 2 hours sleep, yeah. But all I wanted to do was look after that beautiful air hostess lady, which my daughter and I are going to catch up with the next couple of weeks. I felt so sorry for her, where she was probably in a front line where I've never seen nothing like it before in my life. I finally got here, and I just can't wait to see Jake play tonight. And I've known him from a little boy, and I've admired him and what his father and mother and his father supported him, and it's just been unbelievable.
So he did it for the pretty air hostess.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great motivation, right? He's like, you're not going to mess with her. I like that, Sheila.
And
I'm going to protect her.
It was difficult to hear, but when he had that hero's welcome, he said something about, I want to kiss all of you. You're so pretty.
Well, he lives on a sheep farm. He's used to only the animals.
Yeah, he's used to seeing the bats of sheep.
But what a loser this guy is who was, I mean, he's a terrorist, right? Because that's what terrorists do, is they terrorize people. So this kid must be the biggest loser in the world. I really hope this guy got in like a couple of nice shots to the face for this guy. Hit him once or twice. Yeah, violence is the answer sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so a probe has been launched after a psychiatric patient murdered another patient and then bit his genitals. This happened here in South Africa at the Limpopo Philadelphia Hospital. I didn't even know we still had a whole lot of mental institutions, but clearly this is one of them, right?
Well, they say that it was a psychiatric ward at the hospital.
Okay.
But, I mean, all hell broke loose, and it was 2 o'clock in the morning.
And the one Oak murdered the other one.
Yeah.
And then also bit his genitals. This is what we're dealing
with. So, no, it's actually really disturbing.
For fuck's sake.
This guy, this patient had a gun. How?
Well, I don't know. And it's probably the nurses have to have guns.
Walked in and shot this other patient in the head and then proceeded to beat him up. This guy was found with no teeth in his head, and then started like eating his genitals.
So the
security guards walked in to find a dead man lying on his back with this guy full of blood with his face in his genitals, eating his genitals.
Wow.
And so the security guard shot him in both legs.
I'm canceling whatever we're going to talk to Hanan about next week, because this is going to be the thing. Because there is proper crazy in the world, right? We've become like Meghan Markle, where we think everything is a shade of gray. It's like, well, this person just, if they just got enough love, if you just gave them space, if you talked to them long enough, because that's what therapy is. If you just talked to them for long enough, this person would be fine. This person was feasting on the genitals of another dead person in a mental hospital. This person is absolutely fucking crazy. There are crazy people beyond saving that should be put in straitjackets like in the old days and in padded cells and avoided at all costs. You know? This is like Hannibal Lecter level stuff.
Yeah, these
people. No, Clarice, that is incidental. No, they'll never
be
okay.
They can't be rehabilitated.
We need places to put these people. They must throw away the key. Put them in and never let them out. And don't even let them talk to each other.
But I mean, it was completely disastrous too, because the security guard who shot him in each leg while everything was unfolding, his colleague security guard shot the security guard by mistake.
Who's running this place? That's what I want to know. Like, who's in charge?
This is why there's a probe, you see.
This Limpopo Philadelphia hospital. I don't know what else is going on there, but it should be shut down immediately. It's being run like the worst spaza shop in the whole country. Okay, because I know people say it's been run like a spaza shop, but spaza shop owners work hard. We've determined this. This is like, I don't know. This is Cyril not looking after his iPad times 1,000, right?
Several spent cartridges were found at the scene.
Oh my God. So they could have shot more people. If there were more people in the way, they could have been killed as well. Listen, whoever's running this place needs to account for themselves. I want explanations.
How can they say that this is a psychiatric ward in a hospital? I think they're lying. I think this is a psychiatric hospital.
Well,
because why does it say police arrested the suspected killer and charged him with murder before taking him to a local hospital to be treated for his wounds?
Okay.
He was in a hospital. Okay. So this is a mental institution.
Okay. So if it isn't, imagine you go there and you're just going to have a routine, like you're having your tonsils out and you're on the same floor as these mental patients. You wake up from your tonsil up and you see another guy eating another guy's genitals.
And listen, the stuff, I've been in a mental ward. I've been on the ward. I was in there for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And there were literally people, other patients, following me around.
Mad.
Drinking hand sanitizer.
Yes.
Opening the curtain to stare at me during the night. And at one point, they actually gave me my own room because of that. And the person whose room I took, I woke up and he was just standing next to my bed staring at me. You see, these things happen.
There are some lunatics, okay? Mad. Do you remember when we'd say that these people are mad? Like someone who stands on the street corner and mutters to themselves. Now you can get them on Twitter.
And
they're
on meds.
They're available to you 24/7, right? You just go on. By the way, this is not mad, and it's probably not even very nice that I'm showing you this, but show the video of the kid that rolls over and shows you what it looks like. And this, not mad, but it's, I mean, I'd be as frightened of this as I would be of the mental patients you just spoke about. They were hanging around you, just staring at you over the bed. Oy, oy, oy. We got some crazy in the world. There is actually, there's unsolvable crazy. There's a level of it. You can do nothing about those people. Must just be locked away.
Oh, I mean, the girl next to me, I woke up to her finishing her story to her psychiatrist. Yeah. And it ended with, as I woke up, and then that's why I burnt the house down. And then minutes later, she was kicking my tin side table, telling me to stop snoring or get the fuck out.
And she would have burnt you too if she'd stayed there long enough.
I think I might have been in the wrong ward.
Oh my God. Okay, look at this quickly. Some light humor for the morning. Here I am. do it again.
Here I am. Lord, I'm having... Here I am. Lord, I'm having...
Enough. That's enough. That's
enough. Woman in the cinema had one of my tinfoil sandwiches.
Isn't that terrible? Huh? What the hell is that? You know, shame. If you have, you know why I do all of this to you on a Monday? You know why? You know why I show you like irritating things like Meghan Markle and those white people in the woods singing Fringy for that things. Politician? And then this baby with a face like a demon. You know why I do this to you?
Why?
To remind you how lucky you are and how little you actually have to complain about. Don't you think? This is much better. A soul was crushed this weekend when the sun didn't shine for cash money. The tiny golden dog.
A little wiener.
Okay, what?
A sausage dog.
On earth did I just read? A soul was crushed this weekend when the sun didn't shine for cash money. The tiny golden weenie dog.
Yes.
What on earth does that mean?
Sorry,
what is it?
I have a video to back it up. But it's this little dog who sits in the same patch of sun every day and the effort he goes to through to get there. And this day happened to be overcast.
And I'm meant to feel bad about this.
No, it's just cute. I thought it was cute.
All right, let's go. Okay.
So the reason I showed this was because it was one of the most liked videos on TikTok over the past 6.6 million likes.
That's lovely.
Just something wholesome.
Yeah.
And even YouTube and YouTube weirdly on TikTok commented.
See, I love that. I love this dog video. It's very cute, but I also love the one of the child with
the I'm sure you do.
I like both.
Here I am.
Sorry, I just love it. I love both. We're not going to play the dog video again. It's too long.
No.
So what kind of comments were there?
There were things like, you need to buy him a son immediately. Like, why haven't you bought him one? Oh. And he has these little plans for the day with a crying face. The son should be ashamed, honestly.
Yeah.
Says someone else. And then, yeah, some big time YouTube got on and said, son, you'd better come out tomorrow. You hear us? And then TikTok itself, you could see him processing the audacity of the clouds in real time.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was just, you know, something wholesome.
I like
6.6 million likes, which is a lot.
And then we did talk about this, that McLaren crash in Cape Town. Remember we went into full investigative journalism mode, didn't we, Leanne?
That was the, Nigerian
rapper. Yes.
You liked him because he wore pajamas.
Yes, I loved that. I thought that was very much an indication of the quality of his character, that he was wearing pajamas and driving a McLaren at 200 kilometers an hour down a normal residential road.
Well, obviously, those residents have been complaining bitterly, but apparently there is a thing where after midnight there is illegal street racing.
So that I can hear them at night where I live too. And I just think we should put a big chain across the road without telling them.
Well, Helen Ziller's come out and said, we acknowledge the complaints and we're going to do something about it.
What? She going to stand there and shout at them?
No, man.
Helen Ziller, no, I've told you once, you must not come down this road. I'm not going to let you do it again. All right.
So remember his response was like, oh, nah,
Yeah, yeah, he was like illiterate. Small things. And he was brought God into it.
Nigerian rapper.
Or Majizos or
three,
whatever.
Three Gar Baby or whatever he's called.
Yeah.
He set up a sent a post saying, you know, oh, bad things happen, blah, blah, blah. And he's deleted that now. He is facing charges.
Good.
And he has said he's not.
Something like that. We've gone over this territory. Yeah, we have. Don't need to do it again.
But he has now said it wasn't 200 kilometers per hour was not my initial speed. I was avoiding a homeless person. He says the video was edited.
Yeah.
And that there was a homeless person that he was dodging.
This guy must be so stupid. How does someone that stupid have a car like that?
He's denying negligent driving.
And he's denying what we can see with our eyes. There's the actual video. You can see
the accident. No. That video was edited.
You are lying.
He's now realized the seriousness behind this.
Oh, only now. I'm telling you, this guy should also be in that mental hospital where the cannibals are eating each other. Clearly, he's not very bright.
Apparently, there was a Ferrari accident there just recently as well, which is now.
Oh my God.
Led to all of that.
You know what I want to do? I'll buy an island. Yeah, similar to my original idea for the gladiatorial games. But we'll buy an island. We'll put the guy from the mental hospital, the guy who drives the McLaren, Meghan Markle, that kid that reveals its face and everyone screams, five forehead guy, all of them. Just put them all on there, and then we could just have cameras, and they can just go crazy. Meghan can make little packets of things and fight off the mental patients.
Meghan and the rapper deserve to be on that island.
And all those other people. I'm telling you, it'll be so much fun to watch them interact. And then they can be out of our, you know, the real reason to do it is not just to watch them with cameras and things, because I think that will get boring. But to remove them from society so we can have happy times and happy lives. We don't deserve to have these people among us, do we? It's terrible. All right. I want to talk about something because it's come back to haunt us, right? We thought that load shedding was over.
Yes, it did rear its ugly little head again.
We got a little bit complacent. You know what I'm talking about, right? A lot of us were, electricity's not going to be a problem anymore. Well, that's just exactly when they come back and they nail you. So you don't expect it. But we've got to talk about solar again because I think this is still something, and I think about this often. I wonder about all these businesses that started and are supplying solar to everybody. Some of them are better than others, obviously. But there are rules in that environment. There are things you need to know. There are costs that can be prohibitive if you're not careful. We got to watch these things. So I've decided we needed to get someone in who knows what they're talking about. We found Peter Shackelford, who is from Solar Shack. He's the CEO. And they're a Gauteng-based company that specializes in designing and installing tailored solar systems for various property types. And you know that this is obviously a big deal when you're buying a property now or if you're selling a property.
No, it's a huge selling point.
Right? It's more than like what the garden looks like, for example.
Yeah.
Way more than that. So we're going to talk to him about all of this. So thanks for coming to see us, Peter. How are you?
My pleasure to see you. Pleasure to be here.
Very nice to see you. Okay, so tell us, like, how's solar been doing since they fixed the load shedding temporarily? Yeah. And did you suddenly have a massive spike again, like 2-3 weeks ago?
That's a very good question. Very good question. In all the years of my business, I have never seen an avalanche of business like we saw in 2023.
Yeah, 23 was the worst one.
It was bizarre.
Could you keep up?
No, we couldn't. I had customers on a 6 and 8 week waiting list.
Wow.
And they had paid up front. The business itself was, I think I'm not going to be quoted here, but about 20 billion rands worth of business, I think just over the 22, 23. And all of a sudden, its rug was pulled out from underneath it. Let me take you a step back. 16 years ago when I started this business,
you were way before load shedding.
Load shedding. I'm a techno freak, so I love this type of thing. And I started experimenting. I've got my first solar panels through, and I'm going to use the name Siemens.
Sure.
People laughed at me. They said, but electricity is for free. It's always there. What do you want to play with this stuff for? I said, it's coming, guys. It's coming. Well, yeah, we were on the edge of the curve, right on the edge. And when this load shedding was miraculously fixed, look, I'm not a religious person, but miracles don't happen
anymore. No, exactly. We knew it was going to, the holiday would end, right?
I actually predicted the first quarter of this year and bam, I'm on the money.
Yeah.
But having said that, you know, we were fortunate enough to have a massive customer base by that time. Mm. So when the load shedding stopped, there's obviously maintenance and this type of thing. And we had a good company, a good float, a good bank balance. So we were able to carry ourselves through, right through COVID as well, for that matter. Sure. And then I said to these guys, you know, you're going to be back. We had been quoting and people said, oh, but I don't need to go with this quote anymore because, you know, there's no more load shedding. I'm not going to waste my money. Well, they've become streaming back now.
I'm sure.
So it's a pleasure.
I put 10 panels on my roof a while ago and I got 2 batteries. And it's not enough to be off the grid. But I was looking because I've got the app as well. And this is a very guy thing. I don't know if
it's a girl thing too. Would you do this?
A lot of women love the apps.
Yeah. So I get on there and I see that my panels are delivering more than the battery and the house need, which is lovely, right? That just means that
you're in a good position.
Eskom zero.
The sun's shining.
In the middle of the day. Yeah. I'm like, oh, this is perfect. And then some days it doesn't deliver because the cloud cover or whatever else. So there's a
few days it's like that. You know, I mean, I'm not going to quote the days of we have rain and cloud, but it's probably 20 days in the year.
Really?
Where we cannot produce enough power.
And we've got a very sunny country.
Yeah, even in overcast conditions, you'll be producing, depending on your 10 watts, probably over 1,500 watts, even in a cloudy condition. It has to be really black and rainy before you don't get much out of it. But that's where your batteries then would carry you through.
Yeah.
Now, you know, people say to me, they want to come off grid. Sure. You can do it, but you're going to have to pay.
It's expensive.
The other factor is, do you have the roof space? Like you just said, you need to have more panels if you're going to have cloudy weather so you can make up for the loss.
Yeah.
So it is a possible. It also comes down to management. I mean, I run my place, my personal domestic home, pretty much off-grid. Mm-hmm. I think I use maybe 500 rand a month worth of electricity.
Oh, that sounds like heaven.
Please remember, 500 rand, I only get 50% of that because it's on prepaid.
Okay.
Mm.
So you're looking at effectively 60 to 70 units per month that we use, which is nothing.
That's amazing.
Which is now, of course, why our wonderful Eskom is kicking their heels up.
Well, I was thinking about this, and maybe you can help me understand this. So Eskom have screwed up so badly because they are a monopoly. So it should be easy for them to print money, right? But because they can't provide the product that they have a monopoly on, people have been forced to find other solutions. Right. Not only that, but they mismanage what little they have. And they're going to push up the price for something that people are going to try and get alternatives for. So eventually, they're narrowing their opportunity to make money to such a degree that Eskom is probably the worst managed company in the whole world.
If it was a private company, they would have been liquidated a long time ago.
Absolutely. And they may have put enough band-aids on a lot of the biggest wounds at Eskom in the last while. I rate some Tetonyati in this new management team a lot more than I did any of the previous ones.
They're trying.
But, I mean, it's this is just the worst job in the world. And I don't feel sorry for them at all because they've brought this upon themselves at Eskom. They screwed up badly. But now the people who can are doing what you've done at your house, what I've done, what Leanne's done.
And trying to get money out of that too.
Sure.
And also that payback system where you were able to feed.
Well, this is what prompted me to get hold of you guys. Yeah. And I thought I've got to get the public out there to start thinking because, and I'm not being derogatory when I say this, people are followers, majority. Mm.
Well, it's easier. You're so busy with other things.
Of course, life is happening.
You don't want to worry about your electricity. Yeah.
So when Eskom realized, we're not making any money anymore because we did ask you guys to put in solar, but geez, that was a big bloody mistake. I'm going to have to now try and get money out of you somewhere else. So they've got a couple of options that have come up. And one that has really annoyed me because I'm sitting on two sides of the fence here. I've got it as a consumer and as a supplier.
Yeah.
And an installer. So, you know, what do I advise my customers? Because they're phoning me on a daily basis.
Yeah.
What do I do? Do I register? I said, well, I cannot tell you what to do at the end of the day. I can advise you from what I'm doing from my standpoint. I am not going to register squat because the moment I do that, they've got me.
Yeah. And then they will start finding other things
buying an e-toll.
Yeah.
Like you do. I did. Exactly.
Or but then, buying a TV license.
Like I did.
Yeah.
Okay, so I wouldn't do that either. And also, you're not going to make such a fortune out of selling electricity back to them
anyway.
Very
good point. You know, they've the word out there is they're offering 80 cents a unit. Okay. We are paying now, I don't want to, depending on the area, 4 rand a unit. So your return on that is 80 cents. Now, in order to resell to the grid, you need to now buy a meter from them, which they should have supplied, by the way.
No,
it's not our baby, but now they're trying to get you as a consumer to buy the thing. And then they're going to pay you 80 cents a unit.
And plus, I don't think you're ever going to get that money.
Do you know, that's another point, but how long is it going to take to pay off just your meter? But to get the meter, you have to have registered, which is only it's going to be charged for in 2006. Now, at the moment, it's a carrot, doing it for free. You have to have engineers' reports, not
electricity reports. No, and you have to let these terrible people from the government onto your property.
Please. Now, I want to just give you an example here. If you phone Eskom or City Power or any of the providers and say, listen, my DB board is tripping. Can you please come and sort it out? Oh, no, our mandate stops at the pavement.
Yeah. But now they want to be let
in. But now they want to be let in. How do these people think? How do they work?
They don't think.
Right.
Okay. So all about. So tell me, because a lot of people go, oh, well, maybe it's unnecessary for me to now get solar because we've had a couple of months without load shedding. Or they think it'll get cheaper and cheaper. And it is getting cheaper.
It's bottomed out. Yeah.
But you reckon it's at the bottom now. So it's not going to get a whole lot cheaper than this. So this is a good time to do it.
Especially with our exchange rate, it's not going to get much cheaper.
Yeah, because you still have to get the panels. And,
correct.
Right. So, okay, how long do those panels last?
I have got panels that have been up for 16 years, and they are still pumping. I can't measure the difference.
Wow.
Well, I don't see the difference.
Do you have to climb up there and clean them?
Very much so. Very much so. Yeah. A lot of customers will phone me in the middle of winter and say, hey, listen, there's something wrong with my system. Of course, we go through, do a call out, and we go up with a hose pipe and a broom, and we clean them. All of a sudden, he's... Yeah. I'll come straight back.
But
up
you don't need to, because there are people who their whole business is cleaning solar panels.
Yes, right? Most definitely. Yeah,
and they probably do a much better job than you can with a hose pipe. But you don't need to do that. Just keep them clean.
Sure.
Look after it yourself.
You can look after it yourself.
Just don't fall off the roof. Have you ever fallen off the roof?
Yes,
you have.
Yes.
Hurt yourself badly?
Well, I'm still walking. Put it that way. And put it this way: I ran off the roof.
What were you running from?
Smoke.
Oh, shit, was there a fire?
Nothing to do with solar, though. But anyway, this is a whole different story.
Wow.
Yeah. It was actually a transformer that was faulty.
I'm always interested, and I'm glad you gave us a very direct answer on selling power back into the grid, because they'd convinced us this was going to be if you've got a farm and you've got acres and acres of solar array that you can used to farm solar power, then that's fine. But
your return on investment is
it's going to be pathetic.
It's not worth it.
But if you're an ordinary person who's living in a house and you have enough roof space to be able to put up a few panels and it'll save you some money, that's good enough.
Sure.
And if you want to have batteries that can help you at night when all the lights go out, as they did to me last week, it's nice to have that.
Of course, you know, we've also come from a very you're a lot younger than I am, but from a very spoiled background when it came to electricity.
Yeah.
We could leave the lights on. My wife still does, sorry.
Oh, she's going to be watching.
Leave the lights still on and, use it at willy-nilly. But with the cost of it today, and even with the cost of your solar system, plus your batteries being able to supply so much power, you need to be aware of this and just manage your system. And with that management, it's just discipline, self-discipline. You can actually work miracles, and you can practically come off the grid for very, very little.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to walk around like there was this story about some billionaire once, and he was walking around his house like switching off the lights to save power. And I thought, what kind of schnorrer miser thing is this that he won't spend,
a billionaire. Couple of cents?
Probably. But now I find myself like if I switch off that lamp and I go back on the app, how much does it cut the whole total usage for that hour?
You feel more in control. That's
and I mean, I've got geysers now that are on a timer that I can switch on and off also from the app. It's good to know these things. I mean, you're managing your house. You're managing your life.
I mean, you're completely right. We've had to learn. I didn't realize that at a late stage in my life, I'd need to know which appliances are drawing the most. And you didn't
it's actually
before.
Frightening.
So what are the most energy intensive parts of your
house? Look, your geyser is 60 to 70% of your cost.
Wow.
Okay, if not more, depending on the size of your geyser. I mean, you get 2,000 watt elements and 3,000 watt elements. What I do and what we do with our customers is we actually put the geyser on solar, but it kicks in at 10 o'clock in the morning when the sun has become usable. And it'll run right through the day, keeping that water hot. And at about 3:30 to 4:30, it switches that geyser off when the sun is disappearing. Now, a geyser stays hot for a long time. So you can have a shower and do all your things.
Mine's on for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Every day. Plenty. I don't have a cold shower in the morning.
No, sure.
It's cool.
Worst case scenario is in the winter, we switch on the geyser just for about half an hour at 5:30 to 6:00 in the morning. So you can have a shower in the morning, because I shower in the morning, so does my wife. Mm-hmm. So, but that half an hour versus the 2-3 hours a day a geyser would be used, you know, it saves incredible amount of money.
Okay, so geyser, what else?
Your ovens, of course, we don't put them on, because if you have one hot plate that's 1,000 watts, another hot plate that's another 1,800 watts.
So your oven and stove is never connected to solar?
Yeah, no, look, if you want to go put it on gas.
Right.
Gas. Mm. A lot of customers of ours, they've gone with a solar system and they've put in a gas geyser, these gas automatic kicking things, and gas cooking, and they're off grid. Yeah. They literally don't have to buy or pay for electricity. In fact, the inspectors come and see what have they done, bypass their meter. We had it at our place. They're going, have you bypassed your meter? No, I just
amazing.
Need your power.
They'll come when you aren't paying for something that they think you should be paying for, but they'll never come to check
if
there's an electrical fire, for example, or if the whole neighborhood has been without power for 2 weeks. They won't be there for that.
Yeah,
no. Now, how about this? I just want to read this quickly, because this is from Business Tech. They said, power utility Eskom has doubled down on its intentions to come after households with grid-tied rooftop solar in South Africa, saying they have until March 2026 to qualify for exemption from high registration fees. What's that all about?
It's the extortion.
They're trying to get money out of people who are already trying to get out of the system.
Correct. Correct. And this is why I'm sitting here today, because I am livid.
Yeah, me too. This pisses me off.
It annoys me. And then it's not, it doesn't only stop there. They want to put your base tariff up. So even if you're not using them, you're going to still pay. Now, where in the world do you pay for something you don't use or get or ask for?
So just disconnect them.
They won't. That's another thing. They're not going to disconnect you. You're going to have to pay for that facility at your pavement.
Forever.
Forever, whether you like it or not. To
even
me,
if you're not using them.
Criminal.
It is criminal.
It's criminal. You know, I've got a couple of customers at Parkhurst here. They've actually got it right to have their cable dug up, taken out, and the meter's not there, completely 100% off grid.
But it's been a process, right?
It's been a hell of a process, yeah. But they want to stop this now, the powers that be.
Mm.
And I just have a very big problem with paying for something
you don't get any value for.
Or I get nothing for.
Are there people who are able to completely exist outside of all of this with just solar? Maybe they've got a borehole too. Anything. They don't have. This is in
pretty
suburbia,
so.
Right? We're not talking about people on.
No, this is suburbia.
Farms.
Suburbia. Yeah. Parkhurst. we just finished a guy, and we put up a wind turbine for him, and he's got water pumps and a borehole, and that's all runs off a solar system.
Amazing.
He's pretty much autonomous, completely.
Yeah. And what did you just do to your microphone?
The microphone just dropped into my lap.
Wow,
with quite a bit of force, I must say.
So, all right, you've got options in solar.
Yeah.
What are the new developments there? Because we know that these batteries also don't last forever. You're probably going to have to replace those, whatever, 10 years or so.
Well, you know, you get a 10-year warranty.
Okay, but that doesn't mean it stops working.
It doesn't mean it stops working. It'll still carry on going.
Yeah.
As I said, I've got batteries that I put in. So lithium batteries are new kid on the block. When I say new, in the last 5 years, they've been safe and affordable.
Yeah.
Before that, it was the gel batteries, which would last, especially with those shedding, 6 months, and they're finished.
Okay.
But lithium, if you cycle them properly, it's a bit like a muscle. You need to exercise it. So if you cycle it properly, don't discharge it too far, don't overcharge it, you will have a long, long life out of those batteries. Mm. The systems that we use are very, very high-end. They're not the cheap stuff. They're very well manufactured, and they do their job very well and reliable. Uh-huh. The fact that the batteries are very often not used by customers, it's because the setup is wrong.
Okay.
You need to use your battery, otherwise it gets stiff.
Yeah.
And
it's like a cell phone.
The system won't allow it to discharge. The battery itself has got something called a BMS, a battery management system, will not allow you to discharge below 20% left or 80% discharge. It will not allow you to overcharge it. I've got photographs I can show you, but I'm not going to do it now. The batteries from early, the lithium batteries, they used to burst into fire, burst into flame.
Yeah, well, lithium is a very reactive metal.
Very much so, yeah. So we didn't go in the lithium route until I was very convinced and very sure that they were safe.
Okay.
When I say safe, I put it in inverted commas.
Sure.
Compared to what the early ones were.
And obviously there are new developments and there are all kinds of technological advancements that are being made all the time. Where do you see solar going in the next 5 to 10 years? Obviously, it's your business, so you're thinking about this way more than ordinary old us.
Yeah. Look, solar in the business curve is peaked. Okay. So it's now going to become a commodity. It's not that specialized. We made lots of money in the first climb of the curve. But I think the next best thing will be the more efficiency of the panels themselves. You know, up until now, we used to have a solar panel that would give you X amount of watts. If you wanted more power, the panel got bigger. The best part is that it got bigger and you got more power, but the prices stayed the same.
Okay.
So that's where the idea of it's becoming cheaper. You're actually getting more for the same, if I can put it that way.
Yeah.
So the panels are becoming bigger. They're becoming more efficient, but they're still hovering. The best ones are still hovering around about 24%. The moment they can make a breakthrough where they can get 100% conversion rate from your sun to your electricity.
Yes.
Then you'll be talking, but they're not there yet.
Okay.
Battery-wise, I think the next best thing will be the nuclear battery.
Wow.
Okay. Now, that's a whole different technical ballgame, but that will give you a 50-year life. It's literally a nuclear. Now, it's not a nuclear reactor like Cuba. Mm. It's the radiation from the nuclear piece that's in there, like these fire detections.
Sure. It's got a small
isotope
piece
in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Like in a pebble bed modular reactor, for example. Pebble.
So they would start using that. It then makes it smaller because you're not having to store anything. It's just constantly pumping power. So this is where things are going. But of course, these things at the moment are new. They're damned expensive.
Wow. They're not
available on the market yet, per se. Yeah.
Damn it. As soon as they become available, you let me know. I wouldn't mind having
inverters these days. They've got matric. They've in fact got master's degrees too. They're pretty autonomous. They look after themselves. They are stupid proof.
Yeah.
Like you say, you like to see in your app, because that's all usually you really have to do is, I'm saving this much and I'm doing this much and I've produced this much.
Better turn off the tumble dryer now.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you know that there's load shedding coming, you make sure you don't use that much power leading up to it, especially if it's at night.
Well, that's what I was talking earlier. It's a mind shift of usage. You know, you get home and, you've worked late at night. You put the tumble dryer off to the wash because you need dry clothes for tomorrow morning. You can't do that in a solar system. Yeah. You have to use grid. So there is limitations. But if you can get the housekeeper to do all that heavy duty stuff in the day when the sun's shining, you're saving money.
Mm-hmm. Bitcoin Butt says, when Eskom comes to inspect my house for solar, I'll tell them, sorry, the system is down. Come back tomorrow.
I've gone on tea break.
There was a statement made by them, even if you're off grid. Now, that is arrogant. Even if you're not connected to their electrical supply, you have to comply.
No.
Sorry for you. But not going
to
happen.
You know, you could also say to them, you can wait here at the front door. I'm just going to get my gun and see how that works out. I mean, if they really are brave and they want to stay, then you can decide whether or not you'd actually like to take the gun out.
You know,
but this is the kind of brinkmanship that you can do in South Africa.
Yeah. I've got a lot of associates, other installers. So we've got a group of the high echelon installer, preferred installers. We are part of the master installer group. The guy, his primary site is Rustenburg.
Okay.
And we were chatting the other day, and five of his customers have been approached by the municipality. Now, we must remember this whole thing's been driven by Eskom, with Eskom connected customers. The municipalities haven't kicked in yet.
Yeah.
They're usually about 25 or 30 years behind. I'm being facetious, but anyway. the guys there by the municipality, they've been literally blackmailed. Is that a lesser word than extortion?
That's right. No, blackmail.
They have cut off the electrical supply because they have and have refused to register.
Wow.
It's gonna happen.
That is...
That's criminal.
Criminal.
Mm-hmm.
When I heard that, I thought, and I've heard this whole thing, I phoned Outer.
Yes, tell me.
Right. Now, Outer's a great, great place. I was involved with these bridge... people standing on the bridge opposing
Zuma must go
banner, all this sort of stuff.
We played the clip this morning, but Wayne Duvenach and those guys, right? So, okay, tell us about what you did.
I phoned the guys and I said to them, listen, are you aware of all this? And who would I speak to? And how do we engage? And how do we take this on? I said, because there's going to be a class action suit coming. Now, class action, you just have to wait for the numbers. Mm-hmm. And class action kicks in. We've got attorneys that are ready and waiting in the wings for this. So the moment you start getting fined, and I'm trying to get this information out to our customers.
All right, so listen up.
Listen up, customers. the moment you are either threatened or fined, get hold of Outer and lay your story down.
Mm.
Because when the numbers climb, they are going to take it on. And that was from them.
Okay.
Okay. I'm not going to give names.
And then who would this be against? Eskom?
It'll be depending on who's threatening
him. Or the municipality.
It depends on who's threatening him. Okay. It doesn't matter. It's whether it's municipality or
wherever more fuckery comes from, we'll go after them first. Yeah. Okay.
So the way Outer took on the e-tolls, you know, if you're going to get taken to court, and all we ask is, listen, and I'm not an Outer punter here, but please, if you want to benefit from them, contribute to them.
Yeah, of course. No, make a donation. Not a freebie do good work.
Situation. So just bear that in mind. So I've got a great hope that this will happen. It's not going to take a while. I mean, how long did it take for e-tolls to fall? It took a long time.
Yeah.
But it did. It happened. So
10 years.
This is what we're hoping, because this is just blatant extortion. What the next thing, if they get their way, Eskom's going to start asking you to register your microwave oven.
Yeah, they will.
Yeah.
You know, and where's
your license for your microwave?
Where does it stop?
Go to hell. Yeah. No. It stops when we say no more.
Correct.
And we're getting to that. We're rapidly point now. I like the fact that, 2 weeks ago, the Minister of Finance couldn't table his budget because he was going to impose a 2% VAT increase. And people were like, nope.
Excuse me?
You do this, we'll burn down the house like that mental patient.
We'll bring out the psychiatric patient.
Yeah, it's probably driven to that, you see.
Yeah, of course. Okay, so I love the work that you're doing. I think it's just so great that we have other options. We need to have other options. People often want to know how much it costs to do this stuff. I think mine was like 170,000 rand for the 10 panels and 2 batteries.
And you can rent?
You can rent.
That brings up another story. You're renting the system. That's not yours.
Yeah.
Who's Eskom or the municipality going to find? Yes.
That's a good point.
There's another loophole.
They're not thinking this through, you see.
Yeah, well,
they are just money grabbing because they're desperate.
Knowing them, they'll try to get from both.
Yes.
Probably.
Exactly.
Because they don't understand where money comes from. So they think it's made by magic. So they'll try to get from both.
It's a circus. Eh?
It really is. It's unbelievable. All right. Well, would you advise that it's a good idea for people to get as much as they can and get off grid completely? Or do you think it's sufficient that you just have a system that you can manage when there's load shedding? And, you know, I mean, power failures are inevitable in all parts of the world.
It's a double-edged sword, Gareth. You know, you've got to decide for you as a customer or a consumer what it is you want to achieve. Do I want to always have electricity? Which means you can then go with a simple, cheaper version or a smaller kilowatt unit.
Yeah.
Or do you actually want to save electricity costs? In other words, benefit from both.
Right.
So obviously the one is going to be a lot more expensive than the other, but, you know, that's your choice. And it's also your financial situation that allows us.
Yeah.
You know, we deal with a lot of very high-end customers, and a lot of them actually say, well, I don't care about the price of electricity. They've got so much money they don't really give a damn. But when you talk to them about being frugal and you actually engage and involve them in this whole thing, they start to realize, you know, just out of the, excuse the word, fuck it, I'm going to screw them.
Yeah.
I'm going to not pay them their money. I'm not going to give them money.
Yeah.
So that's where a lot of people are.
It's a stealth tax. That's what it is. Because it all goes to the same people who've mismanaged our economy for the last 30 years. So why should we reward them?
Well, we're being punished.
No, we're being punished for their incompetence.
Yeah, correct.
Spot on. And there's no reason for us to put up with that. All right. Listen, I love it. Mm. Thank you for coming in. I've been meaning to talk about this for the longest time. And it's good to have someone who actually knows what they're talking about here. And we will see you on Wednesday at 6 a.m. bright and early, whether there's electricity or not, because we got solar. Cheers, everybody.
Thank you, guys.